Coming up, the Brooklyn Nets continue their inconsistent play in the absence of Kevin Durant, falling to the Detroit Pistons at home. We break down how there was a beautiful performance from Kyrie Irving and Nicholas Claxton, even a kick in from one Edmund Sumner, but just nothing else. The frustration and the lack of focus from this team, even on a back-to-back, is unacceptable. We dive in next.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, my friends, it is the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day, even after the losses. Over there, you're going to find Doug Norrie, owner-operator of DFSR, for all your daily fantasy sports rankings from DraftKings to FanDuel and even on YouTube. He's got you covered. I'm Adam Arbrick, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms, and let you know today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. And Doug, stumbling out of the gates, because that's what the Brooklyn Nets did against the Detroit Pistons. We're going to dive into Kyrie Irving specifically and what he's trying to do without Kevin Durant. And the fact that this team just got no support tonight. It's back-to-back. It was just brutal, man. Brutal from the tip. We all knew this was coming from about the first 5 seconds of this game.
Absolutely no excuse. I mean, Detroit stinks. I know this is a professional basketball team, and you got to be up for every single game, and this is the problem here. And it's on the back-to-back, and you can make a million excuses. No Kevin Durant, yada, yada. You know, Seth Curry out of the game, as they probably try to just, you know, it was knee soreness, but it's probably just more management. So you can come up with a whole narrative about what happened here and why it happened. In the end, this is the Pistons. The Nets are still a quality basketball team without even their best player.
Allegedly.
And this is not at home, and this is just not a game you can lose. They have to bank wins. Every opportunity they have without Kevin Durant on the court, they have to bank every possible win, because to avoid a repeat of what happened last year, where they dipped in the standings when Durant wasn't around. It hasn't been as bad as it was last season, but it hasn't been great. I know they had the back-to-back wins, and our spirits were buoyed a little bit, and we tried to, you know, positive our way through the Sixers game, because they put up a good fight against a full-strength Sixers team. An L is still an L, and that's all it shows up in the box score and in the standings. But this game, I mean, the Pistons are just not a good team. And the Nets allowed, I mean, the Pistons are the 27th ranked offense in the offensive efficiency in the season. They had 101 points in the end of the third quarter. Like, sure. What is going on? It was just a bottom feeding performance from nearly everybody on the court, save Kyrie, save Claxton, and save Sumner. After that, it was about as bad as you get from everybody else. We'll go through the positives. I can't even believe it. Those guys were so good, though, that you have to actually talk about them in a positive fashion, which we will. But on a whole, to lose this game is super deflating, even when you come up with all the narratives around why it could have happened.
Oh, yeah. It's bad play for the most part across the board here. It's bad performances from Royce O'Neal, from Joe Harris. And then you compound all this. By the way, Ben Simmons didn't look like he had anything to give in this game prior to going out with apparent knee soreness. We'll check in on what that could mean long term. We've seen him miss a couple stretches of games here. Then you have TJ Warren. He goes down with an apparent ankle injury. You already mentioned probably just management, but no Seth Curry in this game. So there's nothing better than having one of the worst performances of the season by the team collectively be compounded by the fact that you could also maybe in the short term start to be without with some of these guys. Now, on the one hand, you say TJ Warren hasn't necessarily looked so stellar of late, but the Nets can't really afford to lose players here. And the Ben Simmons piece that I wanted to touch into, because I think there's plenty of things we say at a high level about what they didn't do well in this game: switching, defensive closeouts, rebounding. There's plenty of things to point to. But the interesting thing that I realized about Ben Simmons, because we talked about this a handful of times when it comes to his back and thinking about that injury, but a handful of times throughout the season now, it's been knee soreness. It's kept him out of games. He's missed a couple. He's also left games with it. So I went over, Doug, and I'm no doctor. We always like to give that caveat before making these statements. But The muscles around your knees are powered by the nerves that originate in your lower spine. Irritation or compression of these nerves at their spinal origin causes symptoms commonly known as sciatica, which may include knee pain and or weakness. There's other things that I went through here just talking about how those nerves travel right down the back through the hips, the buttocks, and then down to each of the knees. So like the other part of this thing, and it isn't an excuse making, it's just reality about Ben Simmons, is that if he is still dealing with something in the recovery of the back and it does extend down to his legs and we're already at the midway point of the season, this is just season long reality. And I don't know if it's, you know, chicken or the egg here. Did he check out because it wasn't a good game for him and there's a bit of a built-in excuse around the back of the knees? Or did that actually flare up and that's going to make it really difficult over this stretch without Kevin Durant to rely on him already having the inconsistencies that we're trying to see him play through?
Yeah, I'm always going to give players the benefit of the doubt when it comes to injury. Yeah. So I think that I'm not really going to go there on that one. But in terms of just like what it means for the team, it really was indicative of sort of like what happened here on a high level with this team. Like when nothing's going right, it seems like everything's going wrong, right? And like they're able to couple together big performances from a couple of the guys, but you lose Simmons. You lose Warren. You're already without Curry and Durant. I mean, there is a point at which there's a breaking point around the talent, you know, in terms of like what you're going to be able to do. And maybe we'll get into like the Simmons conundrum here later in the podcast and maybe even later next week, because I agree with you that this is not going anywhere. Like this is going to probably be either a season-long thing or at least a season-long sweat around like whether he's going to be – whether the injury piece is going to rear its ugly head. Even with the Simmons thing, like Detroit's 13-30 on the season. Like, I gave them too much credit. They're 13-37 on the season. It's the second worst record in the NBA. And I don't know if the Nets, like, to a man, at least early, right? They had to dig themselves out of a hole. And so so the game probably even appears closer than it was. Like, I don't even actually think it was this close in terms of what where the score was. But, like, to a man, they just seemed like they were sleepwalking from the beginning. I agree with you. Like Simmons, like left, I thought it was like got poked in the eye, but it ended up being his knee. Like it was confusing about what was happening, but it's sort of indicative, at least for the first three quarters of this game, of like what was happening with this team. It was like either you were checked out or it looked horrible or they were hurt. I don't know. It was just like everyone, at least for most of the game, fell into one of those three categories until late, and they storm back late. And we'll talk about some of the efficiency numbers from at least three of these guys. But yeah, the Simmons thing coupled with this other sort of general malaise, like I don't know what you expect to end up happening. It's just a total F. It's weird because like I want to give three of these guys A's, and everyone else was so bad that it's just such an F minus from everybody else that it just ends up becoming just like this. On one hand, weird to evaluate, and then on the other hand, not that hard to evaluate. It's just a brutal loss.
Well, and knowing because we want to talk positively about Kyrie Irving, Nicholas Claxton, Edmund Sumner, and just their individual performances, like you said, as bad as it was, there are guys that were trying to do all of the right things to help them possibly win this game. So I'll just throw the quick tip of the hat to one Markieff Morris. If you're talking about shooting into an ocean, this guy is standing on the beach facing towards dry land. Cause I like, and it's not even a knock on him because you're asking guys to step up and have some better, bigger games or whatever, but he's been bad from deep all season long. He looks like he has lost whatever step that he had. And this is like, that's the layer deeper here. When Ben Simmons goes out with the injury, you look to the bench. There's no De'Ron Sharp available in this game. They go to Yuta Watanabe a little bit. And then you try to use some Markieff Morris minutes because you need something. And it was interesting. Maybe we'll touch on this a little bit deeper too, that you did have like Jacque Vaughn looked like he was going to go deep into the bench in this game. Then some of the injuries hit early. And he tried to shrink it down. And I think it's the combination of understanding who you have available and who can be effective. And then I think like Jacque Vaughn was trying to find a way to get this win. Like it wasn't, you know, hey, some things aren't going our way here. Lick our wounds back to back. Like he understands. The Nets understand they need to win these games. Not even very winnable. A borderline must win game based on the opponent. And knowing you don't have Kevin Durant and the record is looking worse and worse without him. They're now 2-6. So like, you need to get this game. I think he coached to try to get there. The problem was none of the performances were enough, excluding those three players that we'll get into next.
All right. We're going to get into more of this later. This is, again, a very, very weird game to end up talking about, but we're going to break into some of the positives and have to go through some of the negatives as well. But first, going to talk to you about our friends over at LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. Maybe the Nets can go over to LinkedIn Jobs, see if we can find maybe a floor spacer that can come in, maybe handle the rock a little bit. That's one of the qualified candidates the Nets might be wanting to look for around the trade deadline or just when they're doing their own hiring. That's what LinkedIn does. They match you efficiently with roles and people who have the skills, values, and experience to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond the resume data by using insight from the job post, going to match you with up to, or they're going to comb the 875 million members, and then they're going to match you with the very best. Huge player pool, and they're going to drill it down to find you the people that you need. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. So we've compartmentalized some of the bad. Let's talk about some of the good. This is a game where the Brooklyn Nets shot 45.7% from the field. It's a little bit glossy based on a couple of individual performances, obviously starting with one Kyrie Irving, five straight games with over 30 points for Kyrie. He's now second all time on the Nets. He already was 14 games with 40 or more points, only behind Vince Carter, just ahead of Kevin Durant with 10. All of these great accolades that we can put at the feet of Kyrie Irving. And unfortunately, it's the lack of the supporting cast that made another really good and efficient performance from Kyrie Irving not matter.
Yeah, look, names will be an all-star starter this year before the game before the game tipped. He and Kevin Durant both named starters for the all-star game. Go ahead, and I'll break down some of the numbers here.
Only the third time in Nets franchise history they've had two players named to the all-star game together, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving previously, and then Coleman and Anderson going way back to early Nets days. So the Nets, again, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant setting records throughout this franchise. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, so you come in on like a good note. And look, Kyrie, 27 points this season, a little bit under what his overall career efficiency is. He's down from the 50-40-90 season. There's a chance he can get back there. He's like 49-37-90 right now. It's going to take some efficiency. It's going to be probably tough with Kevin Durant out. But if he plays like this, this kind of efficiency from him tonight, you cannot lay the rest, you cannot lay the loss at his feet here. I mean, 40 points on 27 shots with only getting to the line seven times is hyper efficient. I mean, that's a true shooting in the 70% range. You know, we talked at times about like what the team can be if Kyrie is their best player. In this kind of performance, like, yeah, the volume was there, but you take this volume all day at this kind of efficiency, right? And so you can't. This is actually what makes the loss even worse, is that like you get a 40-point game with Kyrie actually pretty efficient and playing pretty well and still lose. That's a really tough pill to swallow. And it, you know, often with these games and often with these losses, this is where it gets confusing, because you will almost always, a loss to the Pistons like this would have meant Kyrie played bad, right? Like this is just where you'll end up being with a team constructed the way it is. If Kyrie plays really bad, they actually will have struggle to win at times without Durant, no Curry, because you're like, okay, where's the scoring going to come from? Yeah. For him to actually dial it up and get there on the back-to-back and bring it in this game and lose, and we'll get to Claxton and Sumner here in a second, but like that makes the loss actually, frankly, even worse That means, hey, you actually got a great game from him on the back-to-back, and he was super efficient, and it wasn't hero ball. It was just actually Kyrie in his bag, like scoring sort of at will, and he still kind of lost by a lot. Like, that sucks. And the loss is always going to be bad. Sometimes it's not as bad if just everyone plays bad, but when your superstar plays well and you still get waxed, like that one, you actually begin starting to scratch your head a little bit, because it actually kind of starts not making any sense.
And that's the funny, not the funny thing, but we go back to the Philly game when we talked about it on the post game there. Only 15 shot attempts from Kyrie. Incredibly efficient. It wasn't about knocking his game. It was a thing where you go, God, take five more, Kyrie. Maybe it gets us over the hump. this is that game against a much worse team than the Philadelphia 76ers, where you go, Kyrie, man, you should be able to get yours in this game. And he does it, 14 of 27 from the field, 6 of 12, 50% from beyond the arc in this game. And then all you need from there is the supporting cast to serve their role. And the irony, and I know you're gonna highlight the collective stat line here for these guys, is you get another great performance from Nicholas Claxton, 11 of 13 from the field, 27 points on the night. His game log, by the way, is looking strikingly similar alongside Kyrie Irving over these last handful of games. He's been in double digits for the last 7. He's been 20 or more in the last 5 straight, and he's only continuing to score more and more here. Also got to the line tonight and knocked down 5 of 7 free throws. So you got everything that you wanted from Nicholas Claxton. And you even got in a pitch in from Edmund Sumner. And then duds, not literal zeros, but duds across the board from every key possible contributor, from Royce O'Neal to Joe Harris. It was just TJ Warren, even before he went down with the ankle. It was brutal in every other way from this roster. It was brutal.
Since Durant went out, Claxton is now averaging 21 points and 11 rebounds on 34 minutes a game since Durant went out. Like, he's done every single thing you've wanted and more, to the point where I was actually going to even ask tonight, like, where does he rank? Forget about defensive player of the year. Like, where does he rank in the league just of centers? Like, you got to start to probably have the conversation about where that rank is. Like, I didn't even break it down yet. Maybe we'll.
Those old top 100 lists that we looked at the start of the year and stuff. Like, I don't, you know.
Oh, he's skyrocketing.
That's what I mean. Go back and look at those lists. Who are we climbing over top of now? Yeah.
So to couple with what I said before, so you get the Kyrie game, which is, again, hyper-efficient scoring. Then you get Claxton, who also can't miss, like, only raises his field goal percentage on the season, which he was already leading the league in. He actually makes his free throws, goes 5 of 7, right? Like, making the free throws. And so now you're like, okay, we got 67. So if you looked at this box, this is the nuts thing. If you looked at this box score right after the game, you didn't watch the game at all, you don't know how the game ended, you saw only these two things, you're like, okay, 38 minutes from Kyrie, 33 minutes from Claxton, 67 points combined. They barely missed a shot. You're like, how much money would you put that the Nets crush the Pistons? Like, if you didn't, weren't able to see the other things, you'd be like, what are they, minus 5,000 for the win? Like, I don't even know. Like, it's some crazy bananas number if you just saw these two numbers together. When we get to Sumner, like, if you saw these three numbers, you're like, they won by 40. I'd only be confused. I'm like, well, say they must have won by 40, but why did Kyrie play 38 minutes? That'd be the only question I had if I looked at these other numbers.
Where's Cam Thomas playing 15 minutes, obviously, and closing out the bulk of this game?
Okay, yeah, I was like, I don't even need to see what everyone else did, because they wouldn't have had to do anything for them to win, and that's where it becomes even just sort of like this is so mind-boggling. So it's been the theme of this episode from the beginning. We'll just throw Sumner in now, because then we can lament for this last piece about like where we have. If you add the last piece in, where you get 24 points from Sumner on 7 of 10 shooting, now you combine these guys, 91 points, 76% true shooting percentage for the game. That's as efficient as it gets. Three players combined for 91 points and basically can't miss. When you do this, it's impossible to lose. It's impossible to lose. Like, so little needs to happen from everybody else that to take these three games and combine them into a loss. It's nauseating. And I can see why Nets fans, and if you just do one quick, and I'm going to get off this net starting after this sentence, you can see why this would tilt, this kind of loss would tilt Nets fans so, so bad, because you just can't get great games like these from guys and just lose. Like, it's just such an indictment on everybody else. They'll go down the list. Every other guy that I did not mention in those three guys sucked. And like, that's how you lose.
Well, and by the way, all 5 starters for Detroit were in double digits. 3 more players off the bench in just in a 4-man deep rotation, all were in double digits as well. We're going to talk about one of those players coming up here in the segment, because I think what you're seeing here is, we know the Nets need to probably add something at the deadline, but even beyond that, a performance like this from Kyrie Irving, a performance like this from Claxton and Sumner, it means without Kevin Durant, you need a fourth guy to be performing at a very high level for the Brooklyn Nets to be winning basketball games. We'll continue to lament this loss coming up in a second.
All right, I'm going to make myself feel better, because I'm going to talk about our friends over at FanDuel, the new official sports betting partner for the Locked On Podcast Network. They're the number one sports book in America. That's FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports super fun, very easy. New customers right now, they can join today. You can join today if you're out there. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. I'm making myself feel better already here. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel is all your favorite bets from the money line, point spreads, those player pops. You get the same game parlay. I love the same game parlay. I'm in there. I'm really kind of all, every contest, definitely with the Nets. Not going to tell you what I did same game parlay with the Nets tonight. It involved over on the points for a couple guys that I'm just about to absolutely scream about here in a second. So thanks for nothing, Royce O'Neal. Thanks for nothing, Joe Harris. But FanDuel has just got you going. You want to head into NFL Sunday playoffs here, -2.5 for the Eagles. You know, if you've been listening to the rest of this week, you know, I'm +2.5 on the San Francisco. I can't even think about what's happening with the Eagles right now. +2.5 over at FanDuel. FanDuel's got you covered for everything you want and more. Football fans, basketball fans too. Don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports book partner of the NFL.
All righty. So, I do want to touch on one of these players that we mentioned there from Detroit. But you said there, guys that came up short in a big way, and not we don't need to overstate this. It's weird.
It's literally impossible to overstate it because they were so bad, but keep going.
Yeah, right. Well, so here's a couple of quick things, and then I do want to get to something specifically about how this team needs to improve and tie into an episode that I had done the other day when Naz Reid's name came up for the Brooklyn Nets as a potential target. Royce O'Neal, who shot he was in the starting lineup. I forgot. That's how easy it was. That's how forgettable it was. I forgot he was in the starting lineup. 29 minutes, 1-7, 1-5 from deep. Not happening for him. Now, I did remember they highlighted a stat in the 76ers game where in the final 3 minutes this season, Royce O'Neal has knocked, he's been 4-for-4 in like clutch within certain possessions. Only him and Kyrie and Kevin Durant have been efficient in the critical moments when you're down a stretching game. So he has it in him. But what he also has in him is just running cold. And when he's running cold, I'm not going to say that his defensive game is not good enough to carry what he doesn't give you offensively. But his defensive game is not good enough to carry what he doesn't do offensively, especially when you don't have Kyrie Irving out there, right? So his game pretty brutal. Now, if you think that he doesn't do enough defensively for me when he's not playing good on offense, imagine how I feel about Joe Harris in this game. And we've said, like, we are the go to bat for Joe Harris. It comes back to the average. But what has been different this year is he is going on 4-game hot streak, 4-game loser streak, 3 games looking pretty good, 2 games looking like an absolute nightmare. Fouled out the night before, looked brutal in this game, took a lot of bad fouls. He had the leak out pass from Kyrie late where he had the layup and got absolutely destroyed by Bogdanovich, which is brutal. It was the most unathletic combination of players on the court, and he got
trapped. I'm going to stop you real quick about that. I'm dying laughing because that play summed up the whole game to me. Like, in the moment, I was like, that sums up the whole thing. Right when that happened, I was like, there's no chance they're winning. And if you weren't watching the end of this game, it was a fast break where Harris is 2 steps ahead of the closest defender in what looks like is going to be the easiest layup of all time. And he gets blocked the way that I would block my kid if, like, who's, you know, 4'7", if she was going up for a shot, if I was just looking to, like, just totally demoralize her, because he gets blocked. Well, he gets basically blocked back to half court off the backboard. And then he falls down because his momentum takes him in the thing. And I was like, and if you're rooting for the Joe Harris points over, you really were watching that one very closely. because it was a combo deal of everything. But that play, among all things, I thought summed up the game perfectly for both Harris and the Nets in general. But sorry to cut you off, but I was just dying laughing because it was so bad that it was comical.
Yeah, and I already talked about Morris. I don't have high expectations for him. Watanabe had what you would call like a pretty good game for him by what you want from him. 2-of-5, and he gets to the line a few times, has the rebounds. He's +8, which is pretty impressive in a game when you lose by 8. So, I mean, but like it just brutal from all of these key categories. Unless you have something else that you want to really lament about how bad this was. Actually, no, you had the numbers up about what the rest of the team did, right? Everybody else outside of those three, how did they perform from a shooting performance? Just to make sure that you take down that over 70 true efficiency shooting percentage from Sumner, Kyrie, and Clax.
Yeah, so the first three guys had 91 points, and the rest of the group had 31 points total on 11-for-44 shooting. So shooting 25% from the field, not from three, from the field, shooting 25%. They scored 31 total points. No one can make anything. The true shooting was like in the 40s. It's just, there's not much more to say about it except that this is what I mean about when you get a bottom feeding performance. And look, some of these guys, the Royce O'Neal, from a shooting perspective, has definitely gone pumpkin here a little bit. Like, he's 31% over the last month from three. Like, he started off well, but if he's going to start to be something of a defensive liability and can't make threes, like, they are starting to run in some trouble with, you know, what they're getting from O'Neal, which it really hasn't been much. At least Harris, yes, it's a streakiness factor, but like, at least there's been some on stuff, yeah, right? Yeah, like with O'Neal, I can't even go to like having been all that on. Like, it's been a month of really, really bad shooting from him, or at least well below what you can hope to like think you can survive with, right? With him on the court, if he's going to play mid-30s minutes, right? If he's going to play the mid-30s minutes and shoot 30% from three, that's going to be sort of trouble, trouble brewing territory for a guy like him. And I'm not praising Harris here. I'm just saying, like, if you look at Harris over the last month, the three-point shooting is still like 47% over the last month. So like, I can at least hang my hat. I can, like, there's something to hang on here, even though tonight looked comically bad. And they were definitely managing his minutes. Like, so I was, you know, eight first half minutes or something like that. Like, they were clearly like very, very careful with what they wanted him to play coming on the back to back. But yeah, just in terms of the overall team performance, they got, like, everyone shot 25% from the field. Like, you just can't win like that. It doesn't matter how good the rest of your team plays. When you can't get defensive stops on a team of, you know, Jaden Ivey and Bojan Bogdanovic and, you know, Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey, like, when those guys are going to be taking it to the rack every single time, just going to be trouble. So yeah, just putting a cap on the rest of the team performance, which was abysmal.
Yeah, six games this month where Royce O'Neal has shot 25% or less from beyond the arc. And that's significant, especially started out the month, by the way, with that 0 of 8 performance. So you always, chef's kiss. One thing I do want to talk about. So on the Detroit side of things, so the other day, obviously, the trade deadline is starting to come down the pike here. The Nets feel like they're going to need to make some type of moves. The Naz Reid one, fans are on board with that. Doesn't seem like it's going to be a really high cost potentially. And you get a guy that's still young and can maybe be someone that you look at going forward with Nicholas Claxton as well. Can be a real contributor. And I like the idea of Sean Marks approaching it that way. Inside of this game, I mentioned it over on Twitter because I had thought about this player originally when we were talking about a little bit of Alex Caruso. It doesn't look like the Bulls are going that direction. How can you add something to the backcourt? Diallo for the Pistons. His on-off, when we talk about offensive, defensive net rating for that team, when he's on the court, it's 112 and 113. On 679 minutes, full beautiful sample size. When he's off the court, it's 111 and 122, minus 10 plus on 1688 minutes. He's exactly like the kind of guy, and you saw it in this game. You know what he kind of has? He looks like Sumner, who can get at the basket a handful of times, can really throw down at the rack, a lot more athletic, a lot more jump, and a little bit bigger, a little more physical. He's 6'5". You can put him in the backcourt and ask him to do some defensive things for you that you would never want to have to ask a Joe Harris or even a Royce O'Neal at times, playing them down to smaller assignments. If we're just thinking about looking around the league at teams that have nothing to play for and an abundance of young talent, this is the second year of his 2-year contract with Detroit, only $5 million on the books. This is a low-cost option that you can go out and acquire, and you may look across at his stats this year and say, he's a guy coming off the bench for a bad team in Detroit. I know. It kind of tells you how bad things are in Brooklyn coming off the bench, specifically in the backcourt, because you know what else happened tonight we didn't mention? Cam Thomas played 2 minutes. In a game when you needed someone to give you a spark on the offensive end to contribute, Jock Vaughn, the coaching staff, and I'm not even knocking or questioning it, they don't feel like they can trust or rely on him in any capacity. You might as well start to put these guys into packages and bring back some other players that can have a more consistent role for you.
Man, things are getting bad when it's Hamidou Diallo time here in the end of the podcast.
Think about the Patty Mills minutes you see, or the Cam Thomas couple of minutes you see, or seeing Markieff Morris gets minutes. These are across different positions, etc. But even without Kevin Durant, even with Kevin Durant, when you look down the minute shares, you're not going to tell me that Naz Reid for 20-25 minutes a game and Diallo, having him as the option, because you know what you don't have right now is you don't have a guy that you say, hey, go in and give me some quality defensive backcourt minutes. It doesn't exist on the Nets roster right now. And like, so I think you have to try to make some of these marginal tweaks if you're looking at these sample sizes against teams like Detroit and saying, it's not just that we can't score. Remember, you gave up 130. to the Detroit Pistons. Like, there's more problems here than the fact that only three players had consistent offensive performances. You shouldn't be surrendering 130 with consistency to this bad of a team.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree with you on a high level about that. I just don't think Diallo, for me, is the answer. Like, he just they'd be adding another non-floor spacer. Like, he can't shoot threes. I agree with you.
And that's the big downside to his value.
Honestly, for me, it's just, like, the biggest downside. Like, they with this team specifically, they got a couple guys that already can't space the floor. I don't think they need to personally add another guy that can't space the floor. But I agree with you. So, for me, it's a no on that. But it's a yes on where there's clearly something wrong here at the, and maybe look, so we got a couple of things we're going to talk about next week. So I already can tell you right now, cause there's too much to get into. One, we're going to talk about Simmons and the long-term like thoughts around the health, right? So we got to talk about this because it's clearly a problem. Two, we got to talk Cam Thomas, because if there was going to be a game where he was going to play, to not be able to play in this one, like, it raises real questions about like what the future of the team is. Maybe there was a third. I can't even remember. Those are two big ones. I guess we'll just trade deadline stuff in general, but, those are the two, I think those are two like sort of pressing questions around the team, leading into the trade deadline, is like what you do with these situations. That one is like super tenuous when it comes to Simmons's health. And two is like, you got a guy who maybe could, other people could see like having some value in the trade market. And if this is going to be the role for him, like there's just no role. So
that's stuff we're going to also, we're already hearing rumblings that like buyout market kind of guys getting mentioned here, which we kind of have suggested, right? We'll talk about some of them next week too. It's like, this has also been a little bit of what the approach is could probably look like. There's not a lot of bullets to fire here for Brooklyn. So we'll see what Sean Marks has to say about it.
All right. Make sure you visit sponsors LinkedIn and FanDuel. Those links are obviously in the show notes. Everyone that jumped into YouTube, I know following the losses, sometimes it can feel down. We got a bunch of people here firing in questions on YouTube. Really appreciate it. I've seen the YouTube numbers just continue to climb. It's been the steady up the mountain climb for us, and it's just amazing, and we're really, really appreciative. So if you're over on the podcast, make sure you listen to YouTube. We are going to do some YouTube live bonus stuff following the podcast. You got to hit subscribe so you get so you get the alerts when we're going live, but you got to subscribe to Locked On Nets YouTube to do that.
Happy birthday, as we give the quote of the day. I don't care how I got here. In the books, when you look at it 10 or 20 years from now, it's not going to say how he got here. It's going to say he's here and he represented the team. Vin Carter.
One of the all-time great poets. I'm just going to tease something else that we're going to talk about here on YouTube. And if you get on the podcast, make sure you do it. Listen, really pretty alarming responses from Jock Vaughn having to do with Ben Simmons here. So we're going to get into this on YouTube. We'll break it down, and then we'll talk next week more about the Jock Vaughn comments having to do with Ben Simmons. We'll be back next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.